The week begins before the world wakes. The air is still, but the mind of the disciplined is already moving. While others wait for Monday, the Stoic builds it. Sunday night becomes strategy, not leisure. The room is silent, the clock unnoticed, and in that silence the decision is made. This week will not be lived by impulse, it will be lived by command. The Stoic treats the week as a proving ground. Each sunrise is a summon, each task a test of law. Emotion will rise, comfort will whisper, resistance will wait at every turn. But the person of discipline does not negotiate with ease. They have already chosen difficulty. The routine, the repetition, the restraint, each becomes the architecture of control. A Stoic week is not built through motivation, it is constructed through structure. The body moves when the mind commands. The morning is seized before distraction forms. Each day unfolds as a continuation of principle. Prepare in silence, act with precision, endure without complaint, reflect without pride. This is not routine, it is dominion over time itself. Chapter 1. Prepare on Sunday, act on Monday. The Stoic week begins in silence. While the world still clings to its rest, the disciplined person begins to move. Sunday is not a day of escape, but of orientation. It is the prelude to order, the calm before deliberate motion. Preparation is not excitement or anxiety. It is the quiet alignment of intention before life resumes its demand for reaction. A mind that waits until Monday is already behind. The Stoic understands that time is not divided by calendars, but by attention. Waiting for a start date means surrendering control to momentum. The wise begin when others are still idle. Sunday becomes the hidden advantage, the day of unseen readiness, when a person sets their direction without competition or distraction. The first act of preparation is not in movement, but in clarity. Before tasks, there must be a structure of conduct. Before ambition, there must be self-command. The Stoic asks, how will I move through this week? What principles will guide me when pressure mounts? The week is not something that happens to you. It is something you direct through daily law. Order begins in the mind. The person who starts the week in confusion will spend their energy on correction instead of creation. A Stoic week is engineered through reflection. Write down what must be done. Prioritize what strengthens your character. Decide what can be ignored. The external list is only half the work. The internal alignment is the real beginning. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "At dawn, when you rise unwillingly, let this thought be present. I am rising to do the work of a human being." The Stoic does not romanticize discipline. It is not a mood. It is the acceptance of duty without emotional weight. Sunday is the time to remember that conduct does not depend on feeling ready. It depends on acting with purpose. Clean environments create clean minds. The Stoic prepares their space before they prepare their schedule. A room in disorder mirrors internal clutter. Sweep, organize, clear, and reduce. Simplicity is a form of power. The fewer distractions that survive Sunday, the sharper Monday becomes. Minimalism is not aesthetic, it is strategic. The act of preparation extends beyond physical order. Digital noise is another layer of chaos. Clear your inbox. Delete irrelevant information. Set automatic boundaries. A Stoic does not let the trivial invade their mental perimeter. The week ahead must feel like a fortress, not a marketplace. The disciplined person does not prepare for outcomes. They prepare for obstacles. The Stoic spends Sunday anticipating the resistance of the coming week. They visualize interruptions, fatigue, conflict, and delay, not to fear them, but to strip them of surprise. When adversity arrives, they recognize it as a known visitor. Seneca taught that luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. A Stoic converts that idea into rhythm. Sunday is the creation of that rhythm. The prepared person does not stumble into good days. They construct them from the ground up. Each hour has a direction, each choice a standard. To start the week like a stoic is to replace reaction with readiness. The average person greets Monday with complaint or distraction. The stoic greets it with calm intensity. They know what matters. They know what must be done. Their energy is reserved for execution, not orientation. Morning routines on Monday are determined by what happens on Sunday. A person who spends Sunday scattered wakes up to chase. A person who spends it aligned wakes up to lead. The stoic trains for composure, not comfort. This training begins the moment leisure turns to structure. Silence is the core of preparation. The stoic uses Sunday to retreat from noise and return to clarity. Silence is not idleness, it is recalibration. The absence of external input allows the mind to reorder its priorities. A calm Sunday evening becomes the first act of victory. Every stoic week begins with the acceptance of responsibility. The external world is unstable, but the internal world can be governed. The disciplined person treats their conduct like architecture. Each decision a foundation, each reflection a wall, each principle a roof. Sunday is the time to build before the storm. The week will not unfold perfectly. The stoic prepares knowing that setbacks will come. They build mental margin for failure. They do not expect ideal conditions, only the capacity to stay stable within changing ones. Preparation is not about control, it is about command. To prepare on Sunday is to separate the essential from the expendable. Many people start the week carrying the weight of unimportant tasks. The stoic simplifies. They cut what dilutes focus. They preserve energy for what aligns with their purpose. The result is not just productivity, but peace. Sunday becomes the rehearsal for mastery. Each action, from cleaning, journaling, exercising, to organizing, is an act of mental conditioning. The stoic trains not to achieve comfort, but to earn clarity. They prepare because preparation is itself a form of discipline. The act of readiness builds the very strength it requires. The stoic does not look forward to the weekend as an escape. They see it as strategy. The gap between obligation and execution is filled with preparation. Sunday separates the chaotic from the deliberate. The prepared person walks into Monday, already ahead by a mindset few possess. The weekend is not wasted on recovery. It is redirected toward order. Even rest is structured. Rest becomes useful when it restores judgment. Recreation without intention is just avoidance. The stoic rests deliberately, knowing when to stop, knowing when to move again. Discipline built on Sunday prevents emotional volatility during the week. When plans shift, the prepared mind adapts. When obstacles appear, the prepared will endure. Preparation turns uncertainty into training. Each unexpected challenge becomes another chance to apply control. The stoic prepares not only for tasks, but for conduct. They decide how they will respond under pressure, how they will communicate, how they will maintain composure when others lose it. Sunday is not for scheduling, it is for defining posture. The person who knows their standard cannot be broken by circumstances. To act on Monday is to carry Sunday within you. The week does not begin with alarm clocks and traffic. It begins with a decision made in silence the day before. The stoic walks into Monday already composed. They have rehearsed their thoughts, organized their space, and settled their priorities. This is why they move calmly when others rush. A stoic week reflects internal hierarchy. What matters comes first. What distracts is delayed. The person who starts with order finishes with endurance. They conserve energy by eliminating friction early. Sunday preparation is not a ritual of control. It is a ritual of liberation from chaos. Epictetus reminded his students that control lies in choice, not condition. The Stoic begins the week remembering this truth. They prepare not to guarantee outcomes, but to reinforce judgment. The act of preparation strengthens the faculty that determines all action, reason. The day of preparation should include time for reflection. The Stoic reviews the past week not to judge, but to learn. They ask, where did I lose composure? Where did I waste effort? Where was I strongest? The answers shape the conduct of the next cycle. Sunday is reflection turned into direction. Preparation is not passive contemplation. It is a strategic act. The Stoic prepares tools, spaces, and systems that reduce friction. They do not depend on motivation. They rely on environment and repetition. Their world is designed to favor discipline. To prepare on Sunday is to detach from noise. Social media, entertainment, and idle conversation dilute the mind. The Stoic withdraws, not from life, but from distraction. In that quiet withdrawal, clarity emerges. The next week takes form long before it begins. A Stoic week is born from solitude. Silence becomes architecture. Reflection becomes blueprint. Conduct becomes construction. Each choice is intentional, and each morning follows a pattern of purpose. The disciplined person does not seek a perfect Monday. They seek a stable one. Stability is worth more than excitement. It allows progress to compound without interruption. The Stoic builds that stability before the first task begins. Sunday should include moments of mental stillness, time to walk, breathe, and observe. In stillness, priorities reorder themselves. What seemed urgent fades, what is essential sharpens. The Stoic uses these quiet hours to prepare not only the schedule but the spirit. Preparation transforms time into advantage. The person who acts early feels no rush. They enter the week with composed energy. This calm confidence is not arrogance. It is the product of foresight. A Stoic understands that true readiness eliminates both fear and impatience. To start the week like a Stoic is to move before the world demands it. Preparation is the purest form of control. It turns uncertainty into predictability, chaos into design. Each Sunday becomes a rehearsal for mastery, not a ritual, but a renewal of direction. The Stoic understands that the week is not won through bursts of energy, but through ordered beginnings. Every great structure stands because its foundation was laid before pressure arrived. The same is true for the mind. The Sunday mindset builds the architecture that the rest of the week will rest upon. When Monday arrives, the Stoic does not react. They execute. The internal law is already written, the priorities already defined. The work has already begun in silence. Sunday made Monday inevitable. Chapter 2. Set internal law before external tasks. Before the Stoic opens their schedule, they open their mind. The first act of order is not the completion of a task, but the creation of a standard. The week that begins without an inner framework collapses under its own movement. Conduct must precede achievement. Discipline must precede productivity. Without internal law, every plan becomes reactive and every goal turns into noise. The Stoic builds the week like a city of reason. Laws come before traffic, boundaries before ambition. The person who establishes inner principles does not wake to disorder, they wake to purpose. Before the first message is answered, before the first decision is made, there must be a constitution of self. A set of unbreakable principles that dictate how one will move, speak, respond, and choose. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily, "Waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be one." The Stoic translates this into structure. They do not waste the morning defining virtue, they live it. The law of conduct is simple. Speak with restraint, act with reason, pursue clarity, protect composure, and fulfill duty. This is not aspiration. It is law. It is enforced internally by self-awareness and externally by consistency. Part of this law is the discipline of not complaining. The Stoic does not vocalize discomfort. They convert it into endurance. Complaint weakens clarity because it feeds the illusion that hardship is unfair. Duty accepts hardship as a condition of progress. To complain is to speak against the very thing that strengthens you. The disciplined person learns to face difficulty without narrative, to act cleanly, without resentment, without seeking sympathy. The refusal to complain is not silence born of repression, it is silence born of mastery. When a Stoic performs their work, they do it without expecting praise or pity. Their reward is the fulfillment of duty itself. They understand that meaning is created through conduct, not recognition. Each act of service performed without complaint becomes a private victory over weakness. To fulfill duty without hesitation is the signature of internal law. The Stoic does not need motivation to perform what must be done. Whether they feel ready or not is irrelevant. The law commands, they obey. This obedience is not submission, it is liberation from the instability of mood. The person who lives by duty does not wait for ideal conditions. They act because principle demands it. When the world demands attention, the unprepared mind fragments. The Stoic remains whole. Their priorities do not change under pressure because their standards were set in calm. To set internal law means to remove decision fatigue. Each choice is already defined by principle. The Stoic does not decide whether to act with patience or temperance. Those are fixed positions. Their energy is reserved for execution, not hesitation. Seneca wrote that a person who does not know which port they are sailing to will never have a favorable wind. Internal law gives direction. It removes dependence on emotion and chance. It turns the chaos of the modern world into a navigable sea. The Stoic becomes both compass and captain, anchored in self-command, moving with purpose. The creation of internal law begins with honesty. One cannot govern what one refuses to acknowledge. The Stoic examines their flaws not with shame, but with precision. They identify tendencies, irritation, procrastination, indulgence, and design countermeasures. Law is not made for perfection, but for correction. Each principle exists to direct conduct back to reason when emotion tries to rule. A Stoic week starts with written laws of behavior. These are not motivational affirmations, but operational rules. For example, I will not complain about what I can correct. I will not seek validation for endurance. I will speak less when I am uncertain. I will not let fatigue decide my tone. Such laws are private contracts with the self. Breaking them costs composure. To live under internal law is to live free from confusion. The modern person lives by reaction. Their mood sets their conduct, their environment sets their attitude, and their results set their worth. The Stoic reverses this chain. They live by principle, not mood. The external follows the internal. This inversion is the essence of mastery. When the Stoic defines conduct, they remove the need to constantly self-negotiate. They do not wake each day wondering if they will be disciplined. They already are. The choice was made long before fatigue appeared. This is the difference between intention and identity. Intention acts when convenient. Identity acts because it must. Internal law shapes communication. The Stoic does not speak from impulse. They weigh words for precision and effect. Anger is filtered through restraint, praise through humility, criticism through clarity. Speech becomes an extension of thought, not a symptom of emotion. The result is influence rooted in reason. Setting internal law means accepting accountability. The Stoic measures success not by outcomes, but by adherence to principle. They do not demand results they cannot control. They demand conduct they can. This accountability replaces anxiety with direction. When their actions align with their law, peace follows naturally. The internal law is written once, but enforced daily. Each morning becomes an affirmation of order. The Stoic asks not, "What must I do today?" but "How will I conduct myself through what must be done?" This distinction defines the difference between being busy and being deliberate. The person who lacks internal law becomes a victim of context. Praise inflates them, criticism deflates them, and convenience defines them. The Stoic builds immunity to these fluctuations. Their internal code stabilizes emotion. They are consistent because their standards do not depend on circumstance. Epictetus said, "No man is free who is not master of himself." Self-mastery is law in motion. It is the execution of principle when emotion demands reaction. Internal law gives freedom through structure. It removes the chaos of choice and replaces it with the calm of clarity. To set internal law is to accept that discipline is not a temporary project, but a permanent constitution. It governs sleep, speech, thought, diet, exercise, and response. The Stoic no longer seeks balance. They enforce it. They no longer chase motivation. They operate by duty. Each law must be lived, not admired. Reading philosophy is useless without execution. The Stoic integrates their laws into the smallest actions: how they walk, how they breathe, how they react when tested. Conduct becomes the visible reflection of the invisible code. The more precise the code, the cleaner the conduct. Internal law is the cure for distraction. When the world floods the mind with impulses, the Stoic filters them through principle. They act slowly, not lazily, deliberate in movement, intentional in pause. Their restraint is not weakness, it is power under control. The strength of internal law lies in its consistency. Once written, it must not bend to convenience. To compromise it once weakens it forever. The Stoic guards their law as a soldier guards the gate, with alertness and resolve. Every violation is reviewed, every correction immediate. This is how discipline becomes character. Setting internal law before external tasks transforms the entire week. Productivity gains purpose. Goals gain integrity. Time gains value. The person no longer drifts between effort and distraction. They operate from the center, calm, focused, composed. The week unfolds not as reaction, but as execution of order. The world respects those who move with internal clarity. Their presence carries gravity. Their decisions project calm. Their progress appears effortless because their preparation is unseen. The Stoic becomes immovable, not through force, but through structure. Law within produces stability without. The internal law is the unseen architecture of strength. It is the difference between the disciplined and the chaotic, the consistent and the impulsive. Every great life begins with this invisible foundation. A silent commitment to conduct, renewed each morning, enforced each moment. The Stoic knows that the outer world bends only to those who have first mastered the inner one. Chapter 3. Move the body, align the mind. The Stoic begins the week not only in thought but in motion. Philosophy without physical discipline decays into abstraction. The body is the instrument through which reason acts. To train it is to refine the mind that commands it. The Stoic moves to align, not to display. Each step, lift, and breath becomes an act of control. A Sunday walk becomes the first exercise of clarity. As the world quiets, the Stoic walks with intent, not just for recreation, but for reflection. Each stride is a rhythm of order. The air sharpens judgment, the silence steadies perception. Movement clears the debris of distraction. The Stoic walks not to escape thought, but to strengthen it. The discipline of movement begins before emotion interferes. A person who waits for motivation is already behind. The Stoic moves because the law of discipline requires it. Push-ups, stretches, or a calm jog are not physical challenges alone. They are daily declarations that the will commands the body. Through effort, clarity returns. Physical training is not separate from philosophy. It is philosophy made visible. Lifting a weight with proper form mirrors the mental act of reasoning through hardship. Both require focus, patience, and control. The Stoic learns through resistance that strength is not found in avoidance, but in repetition. The barbell, the walk, the controlled breath, each is a form of meditation in motion. Seneca wrote that the body must be trained to obey the mind. The Stoic treats this not as advice, but as obligation. Weakness of will often begins in neglect of the body. A sluggish vessel dulls judgment, and a distracted mind wastes effort. Physical exertion restores the harmony between intention and execution. It reminds the Stoic that mastery begins with action. The modern world separates mental and physical labor. The Stoic reunites them. Exercise is not vanity, it is governance. To control breath under strain is to learn calm under pressure. To lift beyond comfort is to understand endurance beyond words. The discipline of movement teaches the same lesson as philosophy, that freedom is found in control. Each morning, movement becomes a form of preparation. The Stoic wakes early, stretches, breathes, and moves with purpose. Sweat becomes proof of presence. It is not punishment, it is purification. The body wakes, the mind follows, and composure strengthens. By commanding motion, the Stoic rehearses control before the world demands it. Fatigue becomes the teacher of will. When the body resists, the mind asserts command. The Stoic does not seek exhaustion, but consistency. They train not for spectacle, but for stability. The repetition of physical effort conditions judgment for repetition in duty. Every push, every lift, every step becomes rehearsal for composure. A Sunday walk offers more than calm, it opens reflection. The Stoic observes nature as a mirror of reason. Trees standing with order, rivers flowing with direction, wind moving with purpose. Nature acts without complaint or hesitation. The Stoic walks to remember that discipline is natural, not forced. To move without resistance to the act itself is to align with nature's law. To align the mind through motion means to simplify thought. The Stoic does not ruminate while training. They focus only on breath, form, and rhythm. This focus clears the mind from clutter. The act of lifting or walking becomes a purification ritual for thought. In this stillness within motion, clarity becomes instinctive. Epictetus taught that every challenge should be viewed as training. Exercise is the most literal form of that philosophy. The Stoic sees the discomfort of the body as rehearsal for the discomforts of life. If they can endure self-imposed resistance, they can endure external hardship. Strength built through choice prepares the will for what is not chosen. Physical order extends beyond the gym or the walk. It influences posture, breathing, and movement throughout the day. The Stoic moves deliberately, stands upright, and breathes with control. The body becomes a constant reminder of internal law. Slouching invites fatigue, composure invites focus. Every physical act becomes a reinforcement of philosophy. The discipline of movement is also the discipline of recovery. The Stoic rests without indulgence and trains without obsession. Balance preserves endurance. Overexertion weakens judgment as much as idleness. The goal is not exhaustion, but command, a state where the body obeys reason naturally. To move the body is to cleanse the mind of noise. Each repetition, each breath, strips away unnecessary thought. The Stoic uses exertion to reset attention. After the walk, the lift, or the stretch, clarity sharpens. The trivial loses importance. The essential stands revealed. Exercise reveals the truth of effort. There is no deception in motion, only result. The body does not respond to intention, but to action. The same principle governs the mind. The Stoic understands that conduct, like muscle, strengthens through consistency, not desire. This reflection transforms daily effort into lifelong order. In moments of physical strain, the Stoic practices detachment. Pain is observed, not resisted. Fatigue is measured, not feared. The act becomes a dialogue between will and body. In that dialogue, the Stoic learns composure under pressure, the same composure that governs speech, reaction, and thought. The disciplined person uses physical exertion to calibrate perception. A sharp mind in a tired body loses direction. A trained body in a disciplined mind creates endurance. The Stoic trains to preserve both. Movement becomes a safeguard against lethargy, a weapon against weakness, a practice of perpetual order. Sunday is the bridge between rest and discipline. The Stoic crosses it through motion. They do not wait for Monday to reset. They align through movement before the week demands their focus. A walk at dawn, a short workout, a controlled breath. These are not tasks. They are transitions into composure. To move the body is to affirm the will. The Stoic repeats each movement with attention, learning the virtue of constancy. They do not chase results. They refine command. The strength that appears is only a reflection of an invisible force, the law of reason directing the flesh. A mind that governs the body learns patience. Muscles grow in silence, just as character does. The Stoic respects this process. They do not rush progress nor despair at limits. They see both effort and rest as equal parts of discipline. Each has its moment, and each is performed with the same composure. The body becomes an instrument of principle. Through training, posture, breath, and stillness, the Stoic embodies their philosophy. When they walk, they reflect. When they lift, they discipline. When they breathe, they order the mind. Every act of motion becomes a demonstration of mastery. To align the mind through movement is to live with integration. No division between thought and action, will and muscle, reflection and endurance. The Stoic carries this unity into the week. Each day begins with motion and clarity, proof that discipline is not something to think about, it is something to perform. Chapter 4. Detach from results, commit to process. The Stoic does not work for reward. They work because the act itself demands excellence. Detachment from results is not apathy, it is mastery. It is the understanding that control ends at effort, not outcome. A person enslaved to results becomes reactive to fortune. The Stoic commits to the process because it is the only part governed by will. Each task becomes a test of discipline. When effort is done with attachment to reward, emotion interferes, expectation creates tension, and disappointment breeds weakness. The Stoic removes both. They act with full commitment, yet complete neutrality. Whether the result arrives or not is irrelevant. Virtue lies in execution. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." Detachment is not withdrawal from life, but the refusal to let life dictate conduct. The Stoic continues the process through uncertainty. Whether praised or ignored, succeeding or failing, they perform their duty with precision. The mind that seeks validation from outcomes will never rest. Success breeds anxiety to repeat it. Failure breeds paralysis to avoid it. The Stoic moves cleanly through both. Their satisfaction is internal, drawn from the order of their conduct. They do not need proof that their efforts matter. The act of doing well is sufficient. Detachment is not a rejection of goals. The Stoic sets objectives with clarity, but does not worship them. They understand that outcomes belong to chaos, while actions belong to discipline. Control of process is power. Control of result is illusion. The person who grasps this distinction becomes unshakable in movement. Seneca warned against living by hope and fear. Both belong to the future, which cannot be ruled. The Stoic lives in execution, not expectation. Hope distracts the will. Fear distorts judgment. Action, purified from both, becomes serene. The person who focuses on the task itself becomes immune to delay, rejection, and failure. To commit to process is to practice excellence in repetition. The Stoic sharpens routine until it becomes identity. Every day follows a rhythm of refinement. Small tasks are performed with the same precision as great ones. Repetition is not monotony, it is craftsmanship. The week becomes a workshop of consistency. The craftsman's patience is the Stoic's virtue. Each repetition, each refinement, removes error and builds permanence. The Stoic measures progress not by what is gained, but by what is mastered. Process becomes ritual. The act itself replaces the craving for recognition. To detach from results is to be free from emotional volatility. The praise of others does not accelerate you. Their criticism does not slow you. The Stoic's worth is internal, measured by adherence to law. When the outcome fails, they ask only, "Was my conduct just? Was my focus steady? Was my effort complete?" If so, they are at peace. Modern culture glorifies results. Metrics, status, and reward dominate perception. The Stoic operates in opposition to this noise. They work as if unseen. Their value comes from alignment with principle. They understand that results are byproducts, not proof. The tree grows because it must, not because it is watched. Process requires faith in discipline. The Stoic believes that order compounds silently. They do not rush outcomes because they know that time obeys consistency. The process is the forge. Time is the flame. The impatient mind interrupts its own progress by demanding visible signs. The Stoic waits, but not idly. They refine while waiting. In detachment, emotion is tempered. The Stoic learns to observe success with the same calm as failure. Both are temporary. Both beyond full control. What remains constant is the conduct that produced them. The disciplined person does not let fortune define their peace. Peace comes from knowing that no effort was wasted if it was done rightly. Epictetus taught that when you desire things outside your control, you invite suffering. The Stoic avoids this trap by redefining success. Success becomes execution, aligned with reason. Failure becomes deviation from principle. This internal measurement frees them from the instability of praise and blame. To commit to process means to honor repetition without fatigue. The Stoic wakes to the same structure every day, not because it is easy, but because it works. Boredom fades where clarity begins. Routine is not imprisonment, it is precision in motion. Each repetition strengthens the command between thought and action. Detachment sharpens judgment. When outcomes no longer dictate worth, clarity increases. Decisions are made without emotional bias. The Stoic acts according to principle, not impulse. This neutrality creates lasting momentum. They are not slowed by regret, nor inflated by victory. Their pace remains constant. The process becomes a sanctuary. While others fluctuate with outcomes, the Stoic finds stability and structure. Their peace is not delayed until results appear. It exists within every act of discipline. Even when progress is invisible, they remain confident because the foundation is internal, not conditional. To detach from results is to value the unseen over the seen. Most of life's transformation happens in silence. The Stoic honors that silence. They do not broadcast progress, they embody it. Their calm presence reveals their process without words. Achievement becomes invisible order manifested through consistent conduct. The commitment to process requires patience with imperfection. The Stoic does not abandon their principles when outcomes disappoint. They adjust method, not mindset. They remain loyal to their duty, understanding that growth is rarely immediate. This loyalty is rare, and it is what makes progress irreversible. A disciplined person sees process as proof of identity. They no longer need validation. Effort itself becomes satisfaction. Each completed task reaffirms character. In this way, the Stoic builds peace from repetition and strength from simplicity. When the Stoic finishes a task, they release it entirely. They do not linger on how it will be received or remembered. The work has been done in accordance with principle. That is enough. To release effort is to respect it. To obsess over results is to diminish it. The Stoic knows when to act and when to let go. The freedom found in detachment is total. The mind becomes light, unburdened by what cannot be changed. The Stoic works with calm intensity, anchored by duty, unshaken by delay. Whether they win or lose, the quality of conduct remains. In that steadiness lies real strength. Detachment also refines emotion. Joy is not lost, but purified. It no longer depends on success. It comes from integrity. The Stoic smiles not because things are easy, but because they remain in control. The mind that governs itself has nothing left to fear. Commitment to process transforms perception of time. The Stoic no longer measures life in wins or losses, but in adherence to principle. Each day becomes meaningful because it is lived rightly. They do not chase milestones. They accumulate moments of mastery. To detach from results is to become untouchable. The chaos of fortune cannot move the person whose value is self-defined. They are calm under failure, composed under success, and constant in effort. This constancy is the essence of Stoic strength. The weak unfolds according to this law. Work, relationships, and ambition all bend to the same rule. Control the process, release the rest. Each act performed with full intention becomes complete in itself. The Stoic does not delay peace until success. They find peace within precision. In the end, detachment is not coldness, it is serenity under fire. The Stoic feels deeply but remains unmoved by instability. They act cleanly, think clearly, and live deliberately. In their stillness lies movement. In their process lies purpose. Their strength is not seen in what they achieve, but in how they perform every act with unbroken focus and calm authority. Chapter 5. Guard the first hour of each day. The first hour of the day determines the posture of the mind. A person who begins in distraction will spend the day chasing order. A person who begins in control will move through the day with clarity. The Stoic understands this law and guards the first hour as sacred territory. It is the foundation upon which all discipline stands. The first hour is not a race to activity. It is an act of command. Before the world intrudes, before the mind is polluted by noise, the Stoic asserts ownership over attention. They rise not to consume information, but to establish direction. The morning becomes a council of reason, a silent meeting with the self. Marcus Aurelius began his mornings with reflection. He reminded himself of the day's tests, of those who would provoke, frustrate, and challenge him. This was not pessimism, but preparation. The Stoic uses the first hour to remember that external chaos is inevitable, but internal disorder is a choice. The modern mind wakes into noise. Messages, headlines, and notifications invade before thought has even formed. The Stoic does not begin in reaction. The phone remains untouched, the screen unopened. Attention is treated as currency. The first transaction of the day must always be made with reason. To guard the first hour is to establish sovereignty. The Stoic wakes and reclaims the senses from chaos. They observe their breath, the temperature of the air, the weight of silence. Awareness sharpens. From this point of composure, they design the rhythm of the day. The world will not dictate their state. They dictate the state in which they meet the world. A morning routine is not superstition. It is architecture. The Stoic builds it with precision. They rise, stretch, and move deliberately. They may walk, read, or write. Every act is chosen for its alignment with principle. There is no haste, no rush towards stimulation. The first hour is not about doing, it is about becoming centered. Silence becomes a tool. In it, the mind begins to separate signal from noise. The Stoic does not fear quiet. They rely on it. In silence, reflection becomes possible. In reflection, intention is formed. This clarity becomes armor against the disorder that will soon arrive. The first thoughts of the day are the seeds of conduct. If they are careless, the day will be chaotic. If they are disciplined, the day will carry strength. The Stoic begins with questions of conduct. How will I face difficulty? How will I uphold patience? How will I maintain reason under strain? These reflections do not guarantee ease, they guarantee readiness. Guarding the first hour also means protecting energy. The Stoic knows that willpower is finite and that the world is designed to drain it. The first hour must replenish, not deplete. Meditation, journaling, or quiet planning serve this purpose. They are not indulgent, they are maintenance of clarity. Seneca advised beginning each day as if it were a new life. Yesterday's fatigue, frustration, or regret has no authority in the present. The Stoic honors this principle by refusing to carry emotional residue forward. The morning is purification. The past is reviewed only to extract wisdom, not to relive conflict. To guard the first hour is to build mental immunity. The Stoic understands that the mind, like the body, must be trained daily. Exposure to chaos too early weakens focus. The first hour is the training ground, where calm is strengthened and impulse restrained. Each repetition of morning order compounds into lasting composure. A Stoic morning is deliberate simplicity. A few chosen actions, performed with focus, are more valuable than dozens of scattered habits. The aim is not productivity, it is presence. The Stoic does not attempt to conquer the day in the first hour. They prepare to meet it on their terms. Movement within the first hour is controlled and purposeful. A slow walk, light stretching, or breathing exercise signals the body to awaken under command. Physical order invites mental order. The Stoic recognizes the unity of both. The breath sets the rhythm. The posture reinforces alertness, and calm replaces haste. The mind at dawn is malleable. Whatever enters it first becomes its direction. The Stoic uses this truth wisely. They read only what uplifts reason, write only what clarifies thought, and reflect only on what strengthens composure. Nothing trivial is allowed entry. The mind is curated like a sacred space. The first hour is not about perfection. It is about possession. The Stoic reclaims themselves from distraction. They recognize that most people live the day reacting to what they never chose. Guarding the first hour breaks this cycle. It is the difference between being directed and being self-directed. Discipline in the first hour eliminates hesitation later. When the morning begins with order, decisions throughout the day require less effort. Conduct flows naturally. The Stoic does not need to find focus. They have already built it. The morning law becomes the blueprint of the day's composure. Epictetus reminded his students that one cannot learn to control events, only responses. The Stoic applies this truth immediately after waking. The first response of the day sets the pattern for all others. By mastering this moment, they strengthen every subsequent one. Guarding the first hour requires rejecting urgency. Modern life glorifies haste, but the Stoic begins slowly. They understand that speed without direction is chaos. The first hour is a slow sharpening of the sword. Each thought is measured, each action deliberate. When the time for intensity arrives, it will be clean and controlled. To begin the day as a Stoic is to start from stillness. Stillness is not inactivity, it is readiness without turbulence. The Stoic rises with no need to rush, no hunger for validation. Their peace is internal, built through practice. From this peace, they enter the day unshaken. The first hour must be defended like a fortress. The Stoic sets boundaries against intrusion. No news, no noise, no unnecessary conversation. They choose solitude over stimulation. The silence of the morning is not emptiness, it is preparation. The stronger the solitude, the clearer the conduct. Journaling becomes a weapon of order. The Stoic writes not for record, but for reflection. They capture thoughts, refine priorities, and solidify principles. Writing transforms abstract intention into visible law. The pen becomes the architect of the mind's discipline. The Stoic avoids unnecessary decision-making early in the morning. Routine preserves willpower. Clothes, breakfast, schedule, all prepared beforehand. The mind is freed for contemplation, not consumption. Simplicity reduces friction. Each minute saved from chaos is added to composure. The first hour must include gratitude. Gratitude stabilizes perception. The Stoic reflects on the gift of waking, the opportunity to act according to reason, the chance to serve through discipline. Gratitude dissolves irritation before it forms. It grounds ambition in humility. Preparation during the first hour is spiritual in nature. The Stoic aligns with purpose. They remind themselves that the day is not an accident, but an opportunity for practice. Whether fortune brings challenge or ease, the Stoic remains constant. Their readiness is their advantage. Morning discipline becomes proof of identity. Anyone can claim to value order. Few live it before sunrise. The Stoic proves their principles through presence. Each act of morning discipline is a contract renewed with the self, one of conduct, focus, and clarity. The Stoic treats the first hour as the foundation of freedom. By structuring it, they reclaim choice. By protecting it, they build endurance. The day no longer pulls them in every direction. They move through it with deliberate calm, untouched by noise. In guarding the first hour, the Stoic accepts that the mind must be led. Without direction, thought decays into impulse. Leadership of the self begins at dawn. The Stoic becomes both commander and soldier in their own mind, issuing order, executing with precision, remaining steady under pressure. The world rushes to act. The Stoic rushes to order. This distinction defines their calm. Before the world reacts, they have already chosen their posture. Whether adversity or ease follows, their state remains. The first hour determines the distance between reaction and mastery. The morning routine of the Stoic is an act of quiet rebellion against distraction. It is a rejection of the culture of immediacy. In that first hour, the Stoic reminds themselves that time belongs to the disciplined. They act slowly so they may move powerfully later. Guarding the first hour teaches patience. Patience in thought, patience in preparation, patience in judgment. The Stoic begins each day not by demanding progress, but by cultivating readiness. When readiness becomes habit, progress becomes inevitable. To guard the first hour of each day is to build a fortress of composure that endures until nightfall. The Stoic does not need luck or inspiration. They rely on the law of discipline, structure first, serenity after. Each morning, this law is renewed. Each morning, order begins again. Chapter 6. End. Each day with examination and adjustment. The Stoic ends the day as deliberately as they begin it. The final hour is not an afterthought. It is a closing act of order. The way one finishes determines the quality of rest and the direction of the next morning. The Stoic uses the evening not to escape the day, but to understand it. Reflection turns experience into strength. Marcus Aurelius wrote each night to himself, reviewing conduct, judgment, and discipline. He did not write for praise, but for clarity. The Stoic follows this example. They ask, "What did I do well? Where did I fail? What emotion disturbed my balance?" The day's noise is dissected until only truth remains. Examination is not self-criticism. It is refinement. The Stoic does not condemn themselves for error. They study it. They view failure as instruction, not identity. Each mistake becomes a mirror showing where reason faltered. To see clearly is to improve. Blame clouds vision. Understanding sharpens it. The disciplined person knows that reflection must be consistent to be effective. A single act of self-assessment changes little. A nightly review builds precision. The Stoic makes it ritual. They retreat from noise, take pen to page, and turn events into lessons. The page becomes a workshop of conduct. Seneca advised that every evening the wise person should examine conscience. He wrote that he questioned himself. What habit have you improved today? What fault have you resisted? What virtue have you practiced? This discipline transforms time into teacher. The Stoic continues this practice, treating each day as a classroom for character. The act of examination also purifies emotion. The Stoic releases frustration, regret, and vanity by confronting them directly. They do not carry them into sleep. The mind must rest as the body does, unburdened. Reflection cleanses the day of its residue, preparing the self for calm renewal. The evening should be quiet, no loud music, no endless stimulation. The Stoic withdraws from the external and returns inward. Silence becomes the atmosphere of clarity. The dimming of the light signals the dimming of reaction. Within this calm, the day's actions reveal their true weight. To end the day as a Stoic is to convert motion into stillness. The person who hurries through the evening cannot think clearly. The Stoic moves slowly, intentionally. They transition from doing to understanding. This is not laziness. It is governance of energy. Reflection is not limited to thought. The Stoic records actions, choices, and outcomes. Writing reveals patterns unseen by memory. The written page exposes inconsistency and progress alike. It turns vague emotion into measurable conduct. Clarity grows from documentation. The examination also includes gratitude. The Stoic reflects on what was given, not only on what was done. Gratitude reframes hardship as instruction and success as opportunity for service. Without gratitude, reflection becomes sterile. With it, the mind remains balanced between ambition and humility. To end the day with adjustment means that reflection must lead to action. The Stoic identifies not only what failed, but what must be corrected. They design the next day with intention. The evening's insight becomes the morning's law. Without adjustment, reflection is sentiment. With it, it becomes evolution. Epictetus taught that habit is the foundation of virtue. The Stoic uses nightly review to maintain that foundation. Each correction strengthens habit. Each small refinement compounds into mastery. Discipline grows not from one grand change, but from many small recalibrations. The disciplined person treats their mind as a craftsman treats a tool. Each evening they inspect it for dullness, rust, or imbalance. The tool of reason must stay sharp. Reflection is the act of sharpening. To neglect it is to enter the next day dull and reactive. The Stoic does not let external success hide internal disorder. They may have completed every task, yet still failed in patience, tone, or self-control. The evening review exposes these subtler weaknesses. It demands honesty. Victory without virtue is loss disguised. Self-examination also reinforces humility. To review the day truthfully is to remember imperfection. The Stoic learns that strength requires vigilance. Pride is the enemy of progress. Each night becomes an opportunity to reset the ego and return to balance. The practice of adjustment transforms reflection into preparation. The Stoic writes small directives for tomorrow, clear, actionable, measured. These are not vague resolutions, but specific corrections. The next day begins lighter, guided by wisdom earned through review. In examining the day, the Stoic studies not only mistakes, but reactions. How did they handle frustration? Did they speak with reason or impulse? Did they maintain composure when others lost it? By understanding reaction, they strengthen response. Emotional awareness becomes command. The end of the day must also include restraint. The Stoic resists the urge to drown fatigue in distraction. They do not seek stimulation after sunset. They recognize that excess noise contaminates recovery. Peace is earned through discipline, not indulgence. To end with examination is to build continuity of purpose. Each day connects to the next through understanding. There are no wasted experiences, only unreviewed ones. The Stoic lives in sequence: action, reflection, correction, renewal. This loop forms the rhythm of mastery. The Stoic also reviews their thoughts toward others. Did they act justly? Did they listen without pride? Did they withhold unnecessary judgment? Conduct toward others reflects the state of the self. Evening awareness ensures that virtue remains social, not only personal. Gratitude deepens this process. The Stoic thanks fortune for the opportunity to practice discipline, to face difficulty, to serve others. Even hardship becomes a gift when viewed through purpose. Gratitude converts weariness into strength. The disciplined person sets limits on their evening. They do not linger in analysis to the point of anxiety. Reflection must end with closure. Once lessons are extracted, the Stoic releases the day. Letting go is part of control. They do not carry unresolved thought into rest. Seneca wrote that true tranquility comes from a clear conscience. The Stoic earns this clarity nightly. Through review, they remove what disturbs peace. Sleep follows naturally when the mind holds no conflict. Rest becomes a continuation of discipline, not an escape from it. To end each day with examination requires courage. Honesty exposes weakness, but only what is seen can be improved. The Stoic meets themselves directly, without disguise. This confrontation strengthens integrity. Each truth faced adds to fortitude. The Stoic avoids comparison during review. They measure against principle, not people. External standards distort self-assessment. The goal is internal refinement, not competition. Progress judged by others remains unstable. Progress judged by conduct remains permanent. Reflection is also reconciliation. The Stoic forgives what must be forgiven, both in others and in themselves. Resentment poisons rest. Forgiveness restores order. To end the day angry is to surrender tomorrow's focus. Calm is the final act of discipline. The examination often reveals repetition of error. The Stoic does not despair. They understand that mastery requires iteration. Each return to the same weakness is another chance to refine judgment. Consistency in correction proves resilience. The evening becomes sacred time for solitude. The Stoic separates from noise, screens, and opinion. They turn toward stillness as one would toward a mentor. In stillness, lessons speak clearly. Noise hides them. The mind that listens grows strong. To adjust after reflection is to act without delay. The Stoic writes, plans, or sets intention before the next dawn. There is no gap between realization and correction. Thought without action is luxury. The disciplined person acts immediately. Examination and adjustment also cultivate patience. The Stoic does not demand perfection overnight. They measure improvement in alignment, not performance. The direction of conduct matters more than its speed. Small corrections each night accumulate into transformation. The mind that reviews itself daily grows quiet confidence. Errors no longer surprise. They are expected and corrected. Weakness no longer frightens. It becomes a signal for work. The Stoic finds peace not in flawlessness, but in relentless refinement. Nightly reflection reminds the Stoic that mastery is continuous. Each day ends as rehearsal for the next. Composure is built by returning to self-order again and again. There is no finish line, only the steady rhythm of awareness and adjustment. To end the day in this way is to close it with intention. The Stoic does not collapse into rest, they descend into it. The day's final thoughts are not random, but deliberate. Gratitude, reflection, and purpose merge into quiet strength. The disciplined person rests not because they are tired, but because they have completed the cycle of conduct. Action, review, correction, gratitude. Nothing is left unresolved. The mind releases control because it has fulfilled duty. In that release lies peace. To end each day with examination and adjustment is to live awake. The Stoic does not move through time unconsciously. Each evening they reclaim wisdom from the hours past. Each morning they begin stronger for having reflected. The cycle repeats until discipline becomes identity, and identity becomes serenity. The Stoic week is not a calendar, it is a structure of conduct. Each day is not an event, but a continuation of law. Preparation, internal discipline, movement, process, composure, hardship, and reflection form one unbroken circuit. When lived correctly, these seven become less a routine and more a rhythm, a way of existing that no external force can disturb. The Stoic moves through time as through a designed architecture. Every morning, every task, every hardship, every reflection supports the next. There is no wasted motion. The person who follows this pattern does not depend on motivation or mood. Their stability is mechanical, their calm intentional. They are no longer moved by the unpredictability of fortune. A week lived under discipline is a mirror of a life lived under principle. The same order that governs days governs decades. The Stoic understands this symmetry. They treat each small cycle with the seriousness of eternity. Every Sunday preparation is a rehearsal for legacy. Every reflection at night is a small version of final judgment. Discipline cannot survive in isolation. It must become system. The Stoic system begins with anticipation and ends with examination. Between these poles lies conduct. It is built through effort, silence, repetition, and restraint. Nothing in this sequence is accidental. Each act strengthens another. Order compounds. Sunday gives birth to direction. Monday tests it. The body aligns, the will strengthens, and the day becomes an instrument of command. Tuesday and Wednesday are days of refinement, where process replaces impatience and detachment takes hold. Thursday reminds the Stoic to guard the inner space, the first hour, the private sanctuary. Friday tests hardship through repetition, fatigue, and endurance. Saturday concludes with reflection, humility, and adjustment. The cycle begins again, stronger, cleaner, and quieter. To live this way is to remove the illusion of disorder. Life is not chaotic, the mind is. The Stoic does not try to control time, they control their response to it. Each week becomes a smaller universe, perfectly designed to train self-governance. In this microcosm, mastery over life is achieved through mastery over 7 days. The Stoic who prepares on Sunday does not stumble into the week. They walk into it already victorious. Their environment is arranged, their purpose defined, their mind sharpened. Monday does not overwhelm because the battle was fought in silence the day before. The advantage of preparation is invisible but absolute. Internal law transforms reaction into order. The Stoic begins each day under their own rule. They do not require permission to be composed. They do not negotiate standards. Conduct becomes automatic. When this level of consistency is reached, external pressure no longer alters behavior. The Stoic's world is self-contained. Physical motion reinforces mental command. Through movement, the Stoic remembers that strength is not an idea, it is an act. The body mirrors the state of the mind. A weak body invites a weak will. A trained body sustains endurance. Every step, lift, or breath becomes proof that discipline has form. Action replaces abstraction. Process becomes the measure of worth. The Stoic no longer asks what they will achieve, they ask how well they will execute. Outcome becomes irrelevant beside excellence. This detachment does not reduce ambition, it purifies it. The disciplined person continues through delay, rejection, and obscurity with the same calm as through success. Guarding the first hour is a declaration of sovereignty. The Stoic begins the day before the world begins its noise. They defend their attention like territory. The first thought, the first action, the first word, each belongs to reason. The day then follows the direction of this first order. The mind that commands the morning commands the world. Controlled hardship maintains tension. Comfort weakens, struggle refines. The Stoic introduces resistance voluntarily to stay ready for what cannot be chosen. By training discomfort, they make peace with pain. When real difficulty comes, it feels familiar. They have already met it under their own terms. The nightly examination closes the circuit. Reflection without condemnation, gratitude without pride. The Stoic reviews conduct and extracts clarity. They sleep without burden because nothing remains unresolved. Each day dies cleanly, and from that clean ending, another begins without residue. All 7 disciplines together form a loop of reason. It is self-correcting. If preparation fails, reflection repairs it. If hardship overwhelms, process restores control. The Stoic does not aim for perfection, they aim for continuity. Stability replaces ambition as the mark of mastery. When lived with this rhythm, the week ceases to feel fragmented. Monday's pressure, Wednesday's fatigue, and Friday's impatience all dissolve into purpose. The Stoic begins to see life as repetition of principles, not chaos of circumstances. They do not wait for weekends to rest or for success to feel meaning. Order itself becomes satisfaction. The disciplined person finds power in ordinary days. There are no special moments, no dramatic transformations. Each sunrise and sunset carry the same significance: to act rightly, to think clearly, to endure calmly. The Stoic's greatness lies in consistency. Routine is their revolution. Modern culture glorifies speed, variety, and novelty. The Stoic glorifies steadiness. They see excitement as volatility. Their peace is found in rhythm. Each repetition deepens identity. Each repeated act of discipline builds permanence. The week becomes a forge. Each day adds heat, pressure, and refinement. The person who endures it without complaint emerges harder, quieter, and cleaner. The Stoic does not resist this process. They invite it. They understand that life itself is one long training session for composure. Discipline erases the separation between days. The Stoic does not celebrate Friday or dread Monday. Each day carries equal weight. Excitement fades where equilibrium begins. By treating all days alike, they transcend mood and maintain order in all conditions. The Stoic week eliminates dependency. When the internal rhythm is solid, external changes lose influence. Weather, workload, and circumstance no longer control emotion. The mind remains steady regardless of context. This stability is not emotionless, it is governed emotion, tamed by principle. Through repetition, identity transforms. The person who once sought motivation becomes the person who no longer needs it. The week of discipline dissolves into habit, and habit becomes nature. The Stoic no longer practices their philosophy, they embody it. Each cycle compounds strength. The Stoic of week 1 is not the Stoic of week 10. Small corrections, small hardships, small reflections accumulate. Over time, endurance becomes instinct. Calm becomes default. The transformation is subtle but absolute. To live by this rhythm is to exist beyond fatigue. Routine conserves energy by eliminating hesitation. The Stoic acts without friction. Their decisions are made once and repeated daily. This creates speed through stillness, progress through simplicity. Preparation, conduct, and reflection merge into unity. The Stoic's week is a single movement divided by light and dark, not days and dates. When this level of coherence is achieved, the mind experiences continuity of purpose. There are no resets, only continuations. Endurance replaces excitement. The Stoic finds satisfaction not in results, but in constancy. They measure success by stability, not recognition. To remain unmoved amid fluctuation is to have mastered the art of living. The closing posture of the Stoic week is calm authority. It carries no triumph, no exhaustion, only equilibrium. The disciplined person does not collapse into rest. They transition into it. They end the week the way they began it: composed, directed, aware. Seneca wrote that life is long if you know how to use it. The Stoic extends this wisdom to each week. Time lengthens when lived deliberately. Hours expand when filled with focus. A single disciplined week carries the weight of a year lived reactively. The cycle of 7 becomes infinite when repeated. Each return to preparation, to effort, to reflection, refines the person who performs it. The Stoic becomes the architect of their own time. They no longer live by the world's schedule, they live by their own order. To start your week like a Stoic is to start living as one. The habits of a single week, performed with precision and patience, can transform the posture of an entire life. This is the quiet revolution of discipline. It does not shout, it endures. Through repetition, through clarity, through deliberate rhythm, the Stoic transforms routine into mastery, and mastery into peace.